a letter or perhaps some news that after you received it, one of two things happened. You were either troubled by that news and so troubled that you needed some additional information, you needed some additional questions answered because the news that you received was either so troubling or so unusual that it didn't quite make sense to you and you wanted to know more. Anybody ever have any situation like that? I've had that happen before. Sometimes I've had a voicemail that my phone was transliterating for me into letters, and it left out a whole lot of words here and there, and I wondered, what was this real message like, you know, and so forth. Well, when we come to Daniel chapter 7, we have Daniel having an unusual experience here. Remember, Daniel is having what in Daniel chapter 7? He's having a vision in the form of a dream. He's on his bed, it says in verse 1, had a dream and visions in his head upon his bed. So he's having this dream, he's having these visions, and very quickly, his dream entailed four beasts, and then his dream also entailed the judgment of those beasts by a judge sitting in a courtroom setting. And then we saw in verses 13 and 14 that there was one who in this passage is called the Son of Man, who is assisting the judge, who we believe is the Ancient of Days, God the Father, in judging and bringing judgment upon these four beasts. And even though there are similarities here to a vision that Daniel has interpreted for Nebuchadnezzar in former days, there's still some new information here that does what? Well, let's see Daniel's response to this vision that he's seen. Daniel's response to what's going on. And so we look at verse 15, and it says, I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit, in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. And so we see this inquiring now. After Daniel has been informed about these kingdoms, these rulers, he now has some inquiries about these visions and these kingdoms and these crowns, as it were. And there's a reason for his inquiring. We saw that there in verse 15. The reason is kind of twofold. He was perplexed. He was grieved. And so he was troubled. The words there, troubled and grieved. And then he was perplexed. He didn't understand all of this. Now, it's wonderful to notice that even though Daniel is an elderly man at this time, he still wants to know truth. You know, isn't that wonderful that, and I am pleased to see the continued interest in spiritual thing that takes place in many older believers' lives. That's wonderful to see. That you're still interested in learning more and want to know more. And when he had this question, this inquiry, verse 16 says, I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. And so we believe, as we study other portions of Scripture in relationship to this, that this is no doubt an angel that had brought him and was there to interpret to him this particular dream. And then we see some of the interpretation being given to him. And verse 16, so he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which are four, are four kings which shall arise out of the earth. And so there's no question that this is now talking about four kings. We've already seen that in our study previously, but again, here we have the angel especially giving Daniel this information. It's been confirmed now, and these are four Gentile kingdoms that correspond and parallel the Gentile kingdoms that were found in Nebuchadnezzar's vision as well. But also we see in this response a word that's very interesting here. It says in verse 18, "But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever." And of course, we're talking about a future kingdom that will arise and replace these four Gentile kingdoms. And certainly a careful study of God's word indicate to us that this will be the Messianic kingdom, the kingdom that will be ruled by Jesus Christ himself, and it'll be given to his saints. And who are the saints? It's the Jews and Gentiles who have come to faith in Jesus Christ. And so we're part of that body that's being spoken of here. The saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. And so now he has been given some wonderful information that he didn't quite have before, confirming some things for him, perhaps relieving him of some of his anxiety, his perplexing thoughts, but that leads him to another second inquiry. And it says in verse 19, "Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast." Remember, if we look back in verse 7, it says, "After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things." And so now he says in verse 19, "I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, which devoured, break in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. And of the 10 horns that I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom." Thus he said, and so he's going to get the interpretation now, this one who came along there, it stood by in verse 16, is now going to give him some further explanation. And certainly, we can understand why Daniel was so disturbed here, because this now was a terrible, dreadful vision that he had. And there's a lot of new information that's been given here about this dreadful beast and about the what's going to take place in this horn that comes up. And so he is very, very troubled and curious as to know what's going on. He's probably more frightened of this vision of this beast than any of the others thus far, because it certainly is unlike any of the other beasts. It's certainly unique. And now this will indeed give a significant end time parts of Gentile history here. And so he gets a response now. And his response back from this angel, we believe, as found in verse 23. It says, thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which we in our study already recognized is which kingdom? The Roman Empire, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms and shall devour the whole earth and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. So this is the kingdom of Rome. Verse 24, and the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings which shall arise. And we believe that this is a picture then of the revived Roman Empire that was represented in Nebuchadnezzar's vision by the 10 toes. And so we have these 10 kingdoms which have been brought together, and we would call it the revived Roman Empire. And another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. And so we see that there's the description of this nation and the diversity and the destructiveness of the Roman Empire. We see, again, more information about these various smaller kingdoms that are all going to come together and rule together. But then we see this tyrant horn. And look at verse 25. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. Now, we haven't gotten there quite yet when we get to the prophecy of Daniel's 70 weeks. But as we get there, we will discover these 7 weeks are at the end times, are years, and these weeks represent the tribulation period. And a time is 1 year, and times is two more years, and a half time is half a year. So the time and times and half a time represent 3.5 years, the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. And so we see, which some call the Great Tribulation. And so he's giving us again some more information about these end time prophecies. And several things are going to take place during this time. This tyrant king that we understand to be the Antichrist will subdue three of the 10 kings. He is a political being, and then he is not only going to subdue, but he's going to speak great words against God. And so he is going to be that one who is going to have this great swelling charismatic personality that will draw others to him and speak about God. But then he's going to oppress and suppress God's people. And we read that there in verse 25. I think it's very interesting terminology. He shall wear out the saints. Wear out the saints. He's going to oppress the saints. And then he's going to try to change things. Some have suggested in particular he's going to try to change Jewish religious feast days and Jewish holidays. And instead of worshiping the true God, he's going to change and try to bring in holidays where he would be the one who would be worshipped. But he only has a certain time that he's going to be able to rule. The time of his reign is short, and we just looked at that. It's going to be a time and times and a dividing of time. And so he's going to only have 3.5 years to rule. But then, as we already read starting in verse 9, I beheld till the thrones were cast down. And then here in verse 26, there's the interpretation, but the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion, to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. Here we have the millennial kingdom and the eternal kingdom being spoken of here, and that kingdom is going to completely dominate upon the whole heaven and all the kingdoms under heaven. And it's going to be given to those who are ruling with the Most High, and his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. And so he's going to see the greatness of the kingdom and the splendor of that kingdom and how vast it is. It's to every place under heaven. And it's going to be everlasting, and it's going to be given to that sovereign one who is Jesus Christ himself. And so then we come to this last verse, verse 28. So now Daniel has made his inquiry into these kingdoms. And in verse 28 it says, hitherto is the end of the matter. Daniel's writing here. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. You know, when he understood, it changed his life. It brought a new dimension to his life. It continued to keep him to be thinking and being troubled about all of these things. Do you know, when wickedness prevails, it ought to trouble us. Daniel was seeing a vision of things when wickedness was going to prevail here upon the earth under the Antichrist. And even though he knew the final outcome, that Antichrist would be destroyed, the very fact that wickedness was prevailing upon the face of the earth caused Daniel to be troubled. And you know what? We ought to be troubled when we see wickedness prevailing upon the face of our earth today. You know, sometimes, and I'm guilty of it as well, you hear bad news or you hear something and it just kind of, you get used to it. Well, even just most recently, the murder of those 12 people in Virginia Beach. And just the terrible, terrible things that are taking place in our world and in our society today. And how that wickedness seems to be prevailing. It ought to trouble our hearts. It ought to grieve us. But not to the point of despair, because Daniel understood and thought of it and kept it in his heart, and he had confidence that God was in control and God's plan would prevail. And so apparently he kept them in his heart for just a while, because what did he do back in verse 1? Then he wrote the dream. So apparently this keeping all of this in his heart happened for a time, but eventually he was directed by the Spirit of God to write these things down and not just keep them for himself. It's that king that represents this kingdom that's going to have dominion that we've come to think about tonight and ponder as we come to the Lord's table. At the end of the Lord's table, I often say, as is recorded in Scripture, that for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death. And what's the last word? Till he come. You know, when we talk about till he come, of course, we understand that he's going to come and rapture believers out. But then he is going to come at the second coming and set up his kingdom here upon the earth. And so we are going to do this till some of these things that have been outlined for us here in Daniel chapter 7, until they start happening. Until that begins to take place, the Lord's table is going to be continued to be observed till he come. Until he does in his glory and majesty set up his wonderful kingdom here upon earth, and then eventually take us into the eternal kingdom. And so as we participate tonight, let's not only ponder the great sacrifice, and that's certainly what this is designed to do, cause us to ponder his shed blood and his broken body, but also to ponder that one of these days the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back. And he's going to set up this great kingdom. And he's going to dominate and destroy even this last kingdom that's ruled by the Antichrist himself. What a day that will be. And we're thankful that we can have peace in our hearts tonight, knowing that our God is in control. Father, thank you for, again, this outline of some of the Gentile history, and we know that much of that has already taken place. And then there was an interruption, a parenthesis between the Roman kingdom that came into being and then the revived Roman Empire. And in between, we have this wonderful period we call the Church Age, the Age of Grace. And that's the period in which we're living now. And we're thankful that our Savior has come, and he lived and died and shed his blood for our salvation. And we're thankful for the truth that though in last days perilous times shall come, and in last days things shall wax worse and worse, we're thankful that we have confidence that our God will carry out his plan, will accomplish his will, that the Messiah will be set up on a throne and will rule and reign for eternity. So we're worshiping that one tonight who is the great God and the eternal Savior, Jesus Christ. Bless our time as we go into communion, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.